And good morning to everyone. So we're going to get going right here this morning. And I want to open up with a prayer, kind of pull things in. It's been a little crazy, and maybe your life and world is a little crazy as well. And sometimes we just need to kind of pull it in and get quiet for a moment, get centered for a moment, as it were, centered in on the Lord, that is, so that we can prepare our hearts to receive that which He has for us today. Amen? So, Father God, we give You praise today. We thank You. We thank You for this Father's Day. We thank You that You are our Father. No matter how good or otherwise our earthly fathers may be or may have been, You are our Father. Perfect in every way, loving, kind, and always concerned about our best interest. And so, God, no matter what our experience here on earth is with Dad, You are always the perfect Dad to us, and we thank You for that right now. Father, I pray, God, that You would comfort those, Lord, who are thinking this morning about Dad. Perhaps he's passed on. Perhaps he's just absent. But Lord, in whatever case, we ask God that You would comfort hearts, strengthen today. And Father, for those dads who are on here today and who will hear my voice on replay, I pray, God, that You would spur them even to greater fatherhood, modeling after You, the Father of us all. Now, Lord, bless this word. That is to say, bless me as I deliver this word. The word's already good to go. But I pray, God, that You would bless it to the hearers. Give us what we need today. Point us in the right direction and guide us by Your Holy Spirit, we pray. We'll be careful to give You the glory, honor, and praise of which You alone are worthy. And with that, we say amen and amen and amen. Praise God and thank You, Jesus. So we've been looking for the last couple of weeks in the Old Testament, at the prophet Haggai, and we're gonna kind of segue just slightly today from him into his counterpart, Zechariah. These are a couple of what they call the 12 minor prophets. You have the major prophets, you know, the big books like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And then you have these smaller ones. In the case of Haggai, just two chapters long, just two chapters. Now, Zechariah, on the other hand, a little bit longer, 14 chapters, but we're only going to take a look over this week and maybe next week at the first two or three chapters of that prophetic book as they pertain to what we're talking about as we have been using the subject back to the future. Kind of an oxymoron going back and forward at the same time. But that is exactly what we're doing right now. And that's exactly what I believe the Lord wants us to be keenly aware of and cognizant of, is that as we are going back, particularly here for us at Deliverance Temple, going back on the 5th of July to the building. We haven't been in the building in a while, months. And like many other congregations around the country, we have we have been making adjustments, right? But sometimes when we end up then going back after we've been away from something for a while, we think, well, I'll just pick up where I left off. That's one approach. Good morning, Sister Rita. Good morning, Sister Linda. One of the other approaches that we sometimes take is that we've been away so long and our mind has gotten kind of established elsewhere in another way of doing things, that when we come back, our mind's still there. And we're really not centered and focused so much on what's right before us, because our mind is still where we just left. Now, this is a danger, particularly when God is wanting to move you forward into your future, and you're stuck back in what you've been doing, in how it has been, either how it was before the hiatus, in this case, you know, 14 weeks or so off, or how it was during those that time away while you were getting established in other routines. Good morning, Minister Rogers. So, let me just say real quickly, God is not afraid of disrupting your routine. It has been said that, you know, variously, 21 to 30 days to form a new habit, right? And whether it's 21 or 30 doesn't matter. Now we've had about twice that long, right, to take a look, or three times that long, really, to take a look at new ways of doing things, new routines, establishing new patterns for ourselves, right? Just like right now, your pattern, and it's a good one, is to be here at 9 o'clock for Transformation Hour. Appreciate that. I kind of hope and pray that that is the same way once we are physically back in the building, that I see some of your bright smiling faces at 9 a.m. I'll just let that sit there for a second. For others of you who have already decided, now I'm not talking about you, Dr. Marshall. I know you can't drive down here for 9 o'clock service, but for some of you who are just across town and you already decided as well, Lord, I hope you sure just keep doing it this way, because I like chilling with my cinnamon roll and my coffee and, you know, in my house slippers, you know, the big fuzzy bunny slippers or whatever you got. And I ain't really trying to get across town to join with the saints, you know. Plus, COVID's still out there somewhere, y'all. So, I get that. I ain't mad at you. I'm just saying, we have established some new routines during this time away. And so one of the, well, praise God, I'll be very much looking forward to seeing you, Sister Libby. One of the dangers in establishing routines while you're away is that when you get back, you're still stuck there. So that's just one. And this happened with the people of God here as we're looking in Haggai, and now today as we branch over into Zechariah, just in the way of a super quick context for these Old Testament scriptures. Wow, starting to run fast. Let me slow down. First of all, let me tell you this. Paul in the New Testament said the Old Testament scriptures are given for our example. And they certainly are. Both examples of how we should do things and examples of how we shouldn't do things. But they are there for our example. And so we don't just throw out the Old Testament because we now have the New. The old adage is true that the new is in the old concealed, the old is in the new revealed. And so they both go together. We're whole Bible believers. And very oftentimes, although we can't just take verbatim, this is dangerous, give me a little hermeneutics lesson here, we can't just take verbatim necessarily scriptures out of their context and plop them down in 2020. But we can allow Holy Spirit to show us parallels, to show us lessons and examples from the scriptures that are applicable to where we are right now today in 2020. Good morning, Pastor Marshall. So, that's the case that we're looking at here with Haggai and Zechariah. We're not trying to go back 2,500 years and just say, exactly what happened there is exactly what's happening here. No, but there are parallels. There are some similarities. And I think for sure for us at Deliverance Temple Ministries, and maybe for others of you who may be listening, there are parallels for this particular point in history in which we find ourselves. And for us here at Deliverance Temple, having been out 14, 15 weeks, there's some real tight parallels, I think, for us literally returning to the building in July coming up, and the people of God who were returning from captivity. Yeah, some of y'all feel like y'all been captive, right, Pastor Carol? You feel like you've been pretty much captive in Babylon for the last several months. But you're about to be released from captivity and brought back into the house of God. So several things happen as we look, and I'm not going to rehash the whole book of Haggai for you. You can go back and check week one and week two right here on the DT Live Facebook page and get caught up to speed if you need to or want to. But I will briefly say that both Haggai and Zechariah prophesied during the same period of time. And their main focus here, as we're looking at this now, was the rebuilding of the temple. The people of God had been away captive in Babylon for like 70 years. And then things got shuffled over there. The Medo-Persians kicked the Babylonians. And Cyrus came to power and he said, y'all can all go home. All right? There's the really short version of history, right? So they traveled back to Jerusalem and around 536 BC or so, they begin rebuilding the temple. But they run into some opposition. How many of y'all understand that when you're trying to do a work for God, there will oftentimes be opposition? There will oftentimes be stuff come up. There will oftentimes be roadblocks. There will oftentimes be folk who just don't see why you need to do that. And who are you anyway? This happened to the people of God as they came back to Jerusalem. And so they got discouraged. I know that doesn't happen to any of y'all. You've never been discouraged. Never say, Lord, I thought you was with me. I thought this was your plan. I was just trying to do a good thing, Jesus. Yeah. All right. So they got discouraged. And they quit the work on the temple. Not for a day, not for a week, but for like 16 years. They walking by the temple. The foundation's laid. That's it. They walking by on their way to the house, on their way to the supermarket, whatever. And the house of God sitting there basically in ruins. Weeds growing up and that kind of thing. And so the word of the Lord comes through Haggai in the year 520. And he says basically to them, look, y'all have gotten stuck in a routine. Some of you, your mind is still over in Babylon. Others of you who have established a new non-active routine here in Jerusalem, y'all walking by the temple every day like everything's good. But here's the deal. How are your crops growing? Oh, they're not? How your money is? I know that's not good English. But how your money is? Oh, it's just like every time you get something, it's like you're putting it in a bag with holes in it? Oh, okay. Consider your ways, he says. Consider that maybe you need to reprioritize things. Maybe you need to put God's things first and the rest would be all right. And so the word comes strongly to them to do this, and they actually respond and begin work on the temple, right? The Lord addresses the issues of those older folks, those old heads that were there when the captivity took place in the, you know, in the first place, and it seemed the temple before it was destroyed. And they're like, man, this thing you're building now, it's not even close to what that, oh, man, you know, I'm longing for the good old days. Can I tell you, I'm going to, that sometimes the good old days are really just the old days. They weren't all that great. And they certainly aren't as great as the thing God has in mind for you now, that the glory of God for this present time is not to be compared with the glory that you saw in latter times. Listen, sometimes, I'm going to get to my scripture, y'all. Hold on. Sometimes the greatest impediment to our next success is our most recent success. We're looking back, and sometimes it isn't even that recent. We're looking back on when it was good, when things was wonderful, when, oh, didn't we shout down the victory then? Yes, praise God, but that was then, this is now. Yeah, that was a pause on purpose. Your camera didn't freeze. I'm just telling you, things cannot be as they were going forward. We're going back, but we're going back to the future. You got to be ready for change. You got to be ready for different. You got to be ready for the new. Amen? He is doing a new thing. Can you perceive it? Dr. Marshall asks. Dad, that's the question. Do you perceive the new thing that he's doing, or are you stuck in your routine? Maybe it's a new routine for you. You know, you done got used to, like I said, chilling at the house. But he's saying, I've got work for you to do. And as you reprioritize what you've been doing and align it with what I'm doing now, you're going to see things work out a whole lot better for you, because I know the plans I have for you. Jeremiah 29:11. He sent that word before they went into captivity, by the way. I know the plans I got for you. And yeah, it got bad and worse before it got better, but here they are back now. You made it through. Listen, can I tell you that if you are hearing my voice today, you done made it through some things. You done already made it through some things. And you're here on purpose and for a purpose. Now's not the time to get stuck. Now's the time to break free and break forward into your future. We're going back, but not back to the same old, same old. We're going back to the future. So the word of the Lord comes again to Haggai, and he gives a word of encouragement, the Lord sends, as they begin to do the work, as they begin to realign, there's a word for you, with the purpose of God for now. Realign with the purpose of God for your life now. As you begin to do that, you find Holy Spirit there to encourage you, saying, yeah, I'm with you. We got this. Come on. But somebody told me you can't drive a parked car. You can't drive a parked car. You got to put it in gear. You got to get moving. When God gives the destination, when God says, hey, let's go here, like he told the boys in the ship, Jesus did, let's go over to the other side. Now, things got worse before they got better, but you have to hold on to the word that he told you in the first play. Yeah, we're going over. That should have been proof positive. We're going to make it. We're not going to die out here in the middle of this thing. We're going to make it. And I need to realign myself with the word that he has given for now. Because when they got in that ship to head to the other side of the lake, That was a right now word when he said, let's go to the other side. We're going to the other side. That's a right now word. And they had to realign themselves with the power and the truth of that word for right now, even when the storm showed up. Otherwise, they would have surely perished in the middle of the waves. Let me get on. Somebody said, I'm not holding you up, Mark. Come on, bro. So that's Haggai. He prophesies his last prophecy, his last recorded prophecy comes in the ninth month of the second year of Darius here. I told you last week that these dates are important because I want you to see the overlap here between Haggai and Zechariah. And so as we look into Zechariah, we're going to kind of move quickly through this. I got about a half an hour today left. I want to move quickly through some of this, so we're not going to go word for word necessarily, but I want you to get the picture. We're talking about back to the future. We're talking about realigning with what God is doing now. We're talking about breaking old routines, them from way back when, and then from even more recent. Because you need to absolutely know that you're on point with what God is saying and doing now. Last year's word won't get it. And 30 years ago, definitely won't get it. Won't do it. So, Zechariah, do I look smarter? Zechariah, chapter 1, and verse 1. In the eighth month of the second year of Darius, see, there's the overlap, the ninth month, Haggai gives his last prophecy, and eighth month, the word of the Lord comes to Zechariah, and he begins to pick up in the overlap and begins to go forward with this. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, the prophet, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, saying, the Lord was very angry with your fathers. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, declares the Lord of hosts, that I may return to you. Verse 4, don't be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, return from your evil ways and from your evil deeds. But they didn't listen or give heed to me, declares the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? The prophets, do they live forever? But did not my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, overtake your fathers? Then they repented. Oh, yeah. That's how we do, right? Then they repented and said, as the Lord of hosts purposed to do to us according to our ways and our deeds, he has dealt with us. What he said happened. Wow. What God said actually happened. Huh. Verse number, we want to drop down here a little bit. I want to cover all of that. Let me drop down to verse 12. So Zechariah has this vision, right, in the earlier verses here, angels and that kind of thing. In verse 12, then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou have no compassion for Jerusalem and the cities of Judah, with which thou hast been indignant these 70 years? I told you they were in bondage and captivity for 70 long years. Not a bet. Verse 13, and the Lord answered the angel who was speaking with me with gracious words. Hallelujah. Comforting words. So the angel who was speaking with me said to me, proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am exceedingly jealous for Jerusalem and Zion. But I'm angry with the nations who are at ease, for while I was only a little angry, they furthered the disaster. Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will return to Jerusalem with compassion. My house will be built in it, declares the Lord and a measuring line will be stretched out over Jerusalem. Again proclaim, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, my cities will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and again choose Jerusalem. It's a good thing to be chosen of the Lord, y'all. Then I lifted up my eyes and I looked and beheld. Hold on. Let me stop right there. The angel asked, how long is this going to go on? And sometimes we ask those very questions. We're asking that about COVID-19 right now, right? How long is this going to go on? How much longer are we going to be in this situation? This unprecedented situation where things are not comfortable, things are not certain, and where it looks very much like things are going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. I understand from the news that, you know, although things are starting to turn around, we're trying to open the country back up, still millions, tens of millions of people out of work. It's going to be a minute. But here's where you need to grab hold of the promise of God. Here's where you need to hold on to what God is saying to you, rather than CNN and Fox and MSNBC and headline news and all of that. Because guess what? Number one, they don't know. Number two, they don't know. So you need to get with somebody who do, and that would be God. He's saying, and I'm going to tell you that, yes, I'm taking this and paralleling it with 2020. Obviously, this was written long ago to another set of folk. But I'm telling you that I believe God is bringing this particular study at this particular time because he wants us to see the parallels. He wants us to see that although things have been terrible for a while now with us, and even, can I be honest, Lord help, no tea, no shade, I ain't trying to throw dirt at nobody. Can I just say, though, that everything wasn't perfect before COVID. Everything wasn't perfect before COVID. Deliverance Temple. We wasn't coming to Sunday service and couldn't get in because there was too many people. We weren't coming to Sunday service and there wasn't a parking space on the lot. So we had to park on the street to get, no, that was not happening. That was not happening. I'm just saying. So sometimes we glamorize things, you know, in the past when things in the past weren't that great necessarily either. Yes, I enjoy every Sunday coming there, hanging out with you, dear people. I love you. But I could use about 8 times as many of you there. And I could use about 8 times as much outreach as we have been able to do so far. 8, yeah, new beginnings. And so I'm looking for God to do some things, and I'm appreciative of the word that he's sending here now, because in it is the promise that things are going to get better for us. Again, as we align with him, as we stop looking back, as we stop, being stuck in routines, whether they are recent routines or far, far back routines, this is a new day. We're going back, but we're going back to the future. We're not going back to the past. I can't say that more clearly than that. I hope you're getting it. And where I'm unclear, I pray that Holy Spirit will unveil this thing to you for your particular situation. Ouch, hallelujah. Praise God. But he says in verse 17, my cities will again overflow with prosperity, and the Lord will again comfort Zion and again choose Jerusalem. He wants us to understand that his intention for us has not changed. Sometimes we get real sidetracked. Sometimes we do some stuff, man. I mean, we're well-intended. We really expect it to go well. We're looking for things to go really, really good, and they don't. And then he comes to us and says, consider your ways. I want you to think about what you're doing. I want you to think, is it what I said to do? Are you, check your priorities. Am I first in your life? Is what I told you to do before what you're doing? Or did you put that down like the people of Israel did here in Haggai? They set it down for 16 years. Man, they come back, man. It was like, yeah, whoo, hallelujah. We're back in Jerusalem. Thank you. Ha, glory. We ain't slaves no more. Mm-hmm. But can I tell you that didn't last long? Listen, when we get back on July the 5th, however many of y'all show up with your masks on and your hand sanitizer and staying a few feet away from me, when we get back, I'm sure that a shout is gonna go up. I'm sure we are going to be praising God in a huge way. And that's good. That's what we're supposed to do. It is proper. Praise is comely to the upright. We're supposed to praise him. But can I warn you from the basis, on the basis of the people of God here in Haggai and now over into Zechariah, that praise, that shout, that glory, hallelujah, that, oh, I'm so happy, Jesus lifted me, may not necessarily last long. If you aren't centered and focused on what he's telling you to do, because it's all right to get into that, but listen, he empowers us to do, not to sit. He empowers us to do new things. These works and greater shall you do, Jesus told his disciples. By extension, us, we're his disciples today, right? These works and greater shall you do. Not just the same old thing, not just once in a while, not just talking about, yeah, back when. I hope you're hearing me this morning. I am not trying to be rough on nobody. This word comes first of all to me. But I want you to understand, God has great things in store for us. He has huge plans in store for us. He hasn't changed his mind about us, Deliverance Temple. He hasn't changed his mind about you and about what he's called you to do and who he's called you to be. But sometimes we get sideways. Sometimes we reprioritize our own stuff. And then we find that we're out of alignment with God. Out of alignment. And the blessing doesn't come because he has no obligation to bless what he didn't order. If you go on, if you go to the store, whatever store, let's say we're out at a restaurant, since we can be out again a little bit, and you order, you know, steak and lobster over at your table, they're not going to bring the bill to me. And if you told them to do so, I'm going to send it back. Sorry. I didn't order that. I have no obligation. I'm not being mean. I'm still the same loving, happy guy I was when I came in the restaurant. But I have no obligation to pay for something I didn't order. I hope that's plain. God is under no obligation to bless your mess or to bless your low prioritization of his will. You know, you got him on number 13 on the list and all your other stuff first, and you just happy, hallelujah, to be back. But guess what? It doesn't mean things are going to all fall in line if you're not in line. I got to move on. So let's drop down to chapter 2. Praise God. Do I even want to do that? Do I really want to run all the way to chapter 3? I really want to get there today, but I... Ooh, praise God. Praise God. Okay, let me just tell you that chapter 2 is good stuff. We're in Zechariah, in the Old Testament book of Zechariah, kind of partnering with Haggai that we've been looking at. Thank you. Praise God. Tight, but it's right. Amen. I'm just trying. Listen, I'm just a messenger, but I'm also your brother. I'm in this with you. And I know that Bishop would not want us to come back and just be the same. In fact, I've heard him. He's told me this already. He believes things will be different when we go back. He's not looking for the same old thing. He's not looking for the same, you know, God bless you and I love you, but I'm not looking for the same five folks to show up. I'm looking for them to show up, but for them to have a new mind, and I'm looking for the new folk to come to be ready to go. Let's do this. There is tremendous work to be done. There is a tremendous promise that God has given for the house of God, of which we're part. There are tremendous promises over your life. Oh my God. Some of you have had such amazing, listen, this week, go get that old notebook or two or 10 where you wrote down those prophecies. I hope you wrote them down. Some of y'all got some personal prophecies that still hadn't come to pass. And you're like, you don't forgot about them, man. They're so back in the corner, in the dark, in the bottom of your closet somewhere. He didn't change his mind. He didn't lie when he told you that. But right now is the time to realign, to wake up, to come back to the future. The future he intends for you, individually, as families, as a church community. I'm going to jump on to chapter 3 because my time is running short, and we'll probably need to end in 3 and 4 next week anyway. So maybe I can get started there. This is all good stuff, though. Do read it. Particularly, okay, for you scholars, you got a minute on your hands. Read Haggai. It's just 2 chapters long. And read the first 8 chapters of Zechariah, because really those all go together. That's my son popping through. Praise God. Kyron Dixon, good to see you, boy. So that's a new thing, right? Hey, praise God. So I'm in chapter 3 now of Zechariah. And remember how I told you last week that God intends to bring both the civil or secular community together with the religious community, for lack of better words, the church. He's doing things outside the church and inside the church with folk that you may not think are even saved. Whatever that means to you. You say, how he talking about stuff that sound like he done heard from God? He got this program that sound like something we should have been doing over here. Because God is speaking. God is speaking. And people are hearing. Listen, Amos, oh my God. I want to go over to Amos. That's another of the Old Testament minor prophets, if you will, but he's a major guy with me. Amos says, if a lion roars, who won't fear? You hear a lion behind you, listen, the hair on the back of your neck gonna stay. You're going to get scared real quick. He said, the Lord has spoken. Who can but prophesy? Minister Rogers, can I tell you what you already know and what you sometimes sense, I know, is that these secular folk are going to provoke the church folk to action. Because they're doing stuff that you should be doing. They're doing stuff God told you about 10 years ago. They're just doing it. Ooh, I'm messing with somebody's theology this morning. I know. I can feel you out there. I just speak peace to you right now. Can I tell you, I am going to, that if he orders it, he'll pay for it. And if you decide to pull up to the table, you can eat. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come by and eat. That's Isaiah 55, y'all. Listen, God is going to do what he's going to do. God's plan will prevail. Now, you can be part of that thing. You can enjoy the benefit of being in alignment with what he's doing and where he's going, back to the future. Or you can sit back and mean mug folk who are doing it. You can mean mug folk in the church, and especially mean mugging folk out the church who you don't think should have been blessed. How they able to do that anyway? And they didn't even say in Jesus' name. They just went and did the thing and looked like the Lord blessing them. And you better get with them. Because guess what? He's doing things both in the secular / civil community, in government, in business, and he's doing things in the church. Because it's about kingdom. It's bigger than your little group over here or your little organization over there or your little initiative. It's bigger than all of that. And we need new eyes to see. We need to hear the word of the Lord as it's coming to us, shaking us out of our stuck place, whether that's stuck in 14 or 15 weeks of being in the house from COVID, or whether that's stuck in 1941. Back in the day, back when grandma and them were whatever. Thank you for grandma. I love you. But this is now. This is now. Yeah, you're going to be jealous. Looking around and say, how he doing that? How he feeding the hungry? How he clothing the naked? Chapter 3. I got about 7 minutes. I'm going to be on time today, y'all. 7 minutes. Chapter 3. Zechariah, over in the Old Testament. And the word reads, then he showed me. Zechariah having another vision here. Chapter 3. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Here I am, just trying to do God's will. Just trying to live, save y'all. And the devil and the devil and the devil. And every time I turn around, the devil, listen, that's his job. That's his job. He is the accuser. Him and his whole henchman crew are accusers. They do not want to see the plan of God go forward in your life. There are those humans even. I know Paul tells us we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual wickedness. But can I tell you, those who give themselves over to spiritual wickedness, who are in league with the enemy and the plan of the enemy, they will do their best to thwart the purpose of God in your life. And very oftentimes they do that by accusing you. Who are you? Can I tell you? I hear the revelation of God right now, this second. Ooh, my God. Listen, if you hear nothing else I've said today, hear this. The enemy is after two things, really, and they both go together. He's after your identity, because what he's really after is your relationship with God. I'm going to let that sit out there for a second. He is after your identity. He accuses you. You ain't all that. You ain't the one. What'd he tell Eve all the way back in the garden? Are you sure you heard him right? Is that really what he said to you? Let me blink my eyes fast like Minister Rogers do. Wish he'd have heard something crazy. Yeah, he's still doing it. He's still doing it. He said, listen, let me help. Oh, my God, I ain't got time. Listen, he ain't everywhere all the time and all that. Only God is that way. But he got folk who have given themselves over. And they will accuse. And they will bring doubt and fear about who you are, which then causes you to doubt your relationship with God. Eve, is that really what he said to you? Are you qualified to hear God? Are you sure that's what he meant? I don't think that's what he... You? Huh? Girl, please. I just had the grunt right there. Groanings that cannot be uttered, Holy Ghost. He's after your identity because he's after your relationship. And if he gets identity and relationship twisted up in your head, you will not be able to follow through on what God has promised and what God has designed for you. He would love to see Deliverance Temple after almost 50 years just fall apart and crash. Stuck in the past, stuck in what was, stuck in the glory days of the past, or what could have been, would have been, pining away for, whatever. The devil is a liar. I come to shake somebody this morning from your slumber. I came to tell you God has not changed his mind. I come to tell you, you are the apple of his eye. That's found right here in Zechariah, by the way. Well, where in the world is that even in the Bible? It's in the Bible. Zechariah, that's chapter 2, verse 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, after glory he has sent me against the nations which plunder you. For he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. You're special to God. You are special. And he hasn't changed his mind about you. And he hasn't changed his mind about Deliverance Temple Ministries. He has a plan. He has a purpose. But the enemy would love to derail that whole thing. And he does so coming at you and casting doubt and dispersion on who you are. You got to know who you are. You got to be convinced. As Paul tells us in the second letter of Corinthians there, chapter 5, if anyone is in Christ, he, she is a new creature. Old things have passed away, everything has become new right now. It's new now. Hallelujah. Yeah. So he comes at you. I got like 1 minute. Ooh, we're going to finish next week with this in chapter 3 and 4 of Zechariah. But let me just read just super quick here. He shows me, this is Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan at his right hand to accuse him. Jesus said the enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. Only. He only comes to steal, kill. He's showing up. He is not there with ice cream and candy. He is not there to proclaim happy days. That is not why he shows up. He shows up to accuse you. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord has chosen Jerusalem. Rebuke you. Is not this, talking about Joshua, a brand plucked out of the fire? Woo! Oh my God, I can't hardly wait to get into this. Some of you, some of you have come through some things. Some of you have gotten yourself into some situations, you know, on your own. Other times, somebody else helped you into the situation. Either way, you found yourself in the fire, and had it not been for the mercy of God plucking you as a firebrand out of the fire, you'd have been consumed completely. And even now, being plucked out of the fire, you know, if you've ever stuck a stick in the fire or roasted marshmallow doing something, whatever, I don't know why you had a stick in the fire. If you've ever done that, you pull it out and you look at it, what's it look like on the end? It does not look like the way it went in. It's burned, it's charred, it's smoking still from what it's just been through. But God is pulling you out of the fire because he has made choice of you. He has a plan for you. And even the things that you've been through will not hinder you from what he is going to do through you as you align and yield to him. He's pulled you out for a purpose. You are here for a purpose and on purpose. Do not let the enemy tell you for 1 second that you're disqualified because of what you've done or who you've been or who you did it with. That's his job, is to accuse you. Chalk it up to experience, y'all. Here's the proof. You're still here. You're still here. God has a plan for you, and he's about to make that thing come all the way to fruition. He is about to do it as you align with him. As you get unstuck on the past, as you get ready to buckle up and go into your future. We're going back to the future. We're going back to what God originally intended for us. We're going back to the plan he has for us. We tried plan B, C, D, J, Q, R. Didn't work. Some of them were really good ideas. Didn't work. Now we're getting back on his plan. We're going back to the future because your future is only secure in the plan of God. Your future is only secure. The power and the glory is only manifested in the plan of God. So get with that. Jettison all your other ideas about what you thought would work and how it would be and, you know, and it should have been done by now, and now I'm too old, and what, like, let go of all of that. Today's a brand new day. You're here. He's plucked you like a firebrand out because he has plans for you. He didn't let you burn up. Satan, the Lord rebuke you, he says. He comes against the enemy and stands up in your defense and says, this is mine. You ain't got nothing to do with this, devil. This is mine. She's mine. He's mine. I got plans for them. We're going back to the future. Oh, y'all getting me all stirred up here at the end. I'm out of time, y'all. We're going to do our very best to wrap this thing up on next week. Looking forward to it. We'll be right back here in chapter 3 and 4 of the prophetic book Zechariah over in the Old Testament. And we're going back to the future. Hey, listen, for all of y'all fathers out there, God bless you. Happy Father's Day to you. Thank you, each and every one, for joining us today. It's been my joy and pleasure to have you here. If you missed part of the broadcast, go back and check the replay out. It will be available right here on this same Facebook page. In the meantime, get ready for our morning worship conference call, 11 o'clock. You know the number. If you don't, check the announcements up above. It's right there. We will see you then. Until then, go with God. He will certainly go with you. Amen. Amen.